Welcome to Sundays. We're your hosts. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Steph. Okay. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Steph. Oh my God, we're at the end of the year. It is absolutely freezing, you guys. We are recording. When are we recording, Steph? Today is December 23rd, so I know like this is going to be pre-recorded one. I can't tell. I think this might be released on Christmas Day, actually. I hope you guys are staying warm because it is cold in the U.S. right now. I mean, it's cold in Texas. So
yeah, so cold. We're closing out season one because next Sunday or the Sunday after Christmas is actually January 1st. So we're closing out season one with two episodes. So
yes,
that'll be fun for you guys. But we felt like we needed to discuss Harry and Meghan.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
It's a controversial topic, you guys.
Is it? I feel like
everywhere in the world these days, whenever some kind of controversial shit goes down, there's always like polarizing views. You know, some people love them, some people hate them.
Yeah, I guess it's always like an extreme. Yeah, I think I'm so far on the like I support them train that I'm like I've tuned out any other noise. Because at first,
I 100% agree with this. And by the way, you guys, Steph and I did not discuss our opinions before recording this, so we could have a very authentic conversation. But yeah, I guess Steph and I are on the same page.
Yes, I'm very much team M and H, as they call each other.
No, H and M. How did you not catch on to that? H and M.
H&M. You know, honestly, Sarah, when I was first hearing her refer to him as H, I was like, girl, what?
Yeah,
H?
That's kind of, I was like, kind of weird. And he was like, yeah, M. And I'm like, oh my God, they're H&M.
This is too much. Yeah, I don't know. It kind of turned me off at first, like the first couple episodes. I was like, girl, H, that's the nickname you came up with, H? But
yeah, literally. Or like Has, like Prince Has. Like what? Has? I guess it's a good cover for him because I would have never put Has and Harry together. Yeah. But maybe it's his nickname, whatever it might be. But
yeah.
Okay. I support them. But yeah, yeah, let's just do a little deep dive, shall we? By the way, I think they're so cute together. They're so cute together.
I do too. And I feel like the documentary really helped provide some substance because everything that we have seen has been through the media, you know?
Yes.
And it was at first very positive around the wedding, which they covered that and how excited everyone was. The prince is getting married. And then, you know, like the conversation, the tone started to shift a little bit. And so it's hard to really like see people for who they really are when there's so much out there that is trying to skew your opinion in a different direction.
I totally agree. I mean, but from the first episode, like when they kind of like lay down the foundation of how they met, like through a Snapchat filter, like if that doesn't go to show, it's meant to be. You know what I mean? Like he could barely even see her face. It had she had a dog filter on her face. I saw somebody on TikTok being like, the next time I use a dog filter on my Snapchat, you guys better know I'm looking for a prince.
Right. I'm looking for royalty. I'm looking for...
Exactly. It's just so crazy, right? Like Prince Harry looks at a woman who has a dog filter on her face and is like intrigued. Yeah. Like if that's how meant to be, like I don't know what meant to be might be. You know what I mean? Like he literally did not even know what her face looked like.
But I really love this for her, truly. Like
I know. I mean, it's crazy. Like, you know, you grow up and she had like a very normal life and whatever, and then you end up marrying like the Prince of England, like directly, like the queen's grandson. Like when does that happen? You know what I mean? So it's definitely a meant to be situation. I love the fact that they were centering it so much about like love and how love wins. You know, like she wrote those texts to her friends and they would always be like, oh yeah, love wins. But I do think like, and then Harry says it too. He says like, you know, she left her whole world to join mine, but then I did the same for her because I love her. And like, I do agree with the theme of this is like a great love story. And I agree with that because in a sense, yes, he is royal and he was born into this family, but he literally left everything to be with her. But of course, like, the media didn't make it the best. And I do think, like, so many people are saying, oh, well, you know, like, she destroyed the royal family and this and that. But, and like, they threw the royal family under the bus. But okay, they kind of did. But then also, I think the media has, like, a big part to play in it. And I do think that they're talking more about the media than they are about the royal family, because yes, they go hand in hand. And he, like, literally is quoted saying it's a dirty business. But I kind of now have a very deep understanding of the royal family and how it works and how they stay relevant that I never did before this documentary actually came out.
Yeah, it's very interesting to have a better understanding of how the institution versus the family are very different. And I found it very just really interesting. Do you remember, like, the part where he had been messaging his grandmother and wanted to speak with her? And she said she's available. And then he arrives in England and suddenly, you know, the institution says she's very busy. And she says, oh, my calendar is very busy, you know? And it's like, it's just so crazy. And how, like, their comms offices will trade stories. So, like, they were, it really seemed like they were just being put out for slaughter for the sake of saving face for higher ranking members of the royal family.
And yes, I 100% agree with this. I mean, if any of you have watched The Crown, Steph, have you watched The Crown?
I haven't.
So Diana's season, which is the last season, really puts things into perspective. And I've always had a very intense, like, infatuation with the royal family, because you guys know I'm from Pakistan, and Pakistan, or India as a subcontinent, was once colonized by the British. So once the British left, like, a lot of, like, their culture stayed within the subcontinent. Like, for example, Urdu and Hindi might be our languages, but then English is, like, also a language. Like, that's why I grew up, like, speaking English, or, like, we have tea, and, like, there are, like, little things here and there that are, like, very much like a British influence. And I kind of, like, knew about the Queen, like, a, you know, it was always in the back of my mind, and I've always had, like, an infatuation. Because, and then I, as I grow older, I think, like, a lot of people, there was this guy from, like, their ex-comms team who was saying, like, I don't know what the relevance of, like, a monarchy might be in modern day. And, like, as times are progressing, people are starting to question it more and more. Like, what is this family actually doing for them to have this royal status, right? Like, because a lot of the monarchies have been dissolved in the past. Like, there are, like, very few countries that actually have, like, a king and a queen. And their king and queen don't really do anything. You know what I mean? Like, because they have, like, a whole, like, parliament, and they have a prime minister. Like, the royal family is really there to put, like, a cherry on top, because they're, like, it's a brand, right? Like, this is, like, the British royal family is, like, the most relevant royal family. It's, like, the one with, like, the deepest history, the one that's actually managed to stay relevant and royal up until, like, modern day. And now people are probably going to question, like, future generations might question, like, what makes them royal? Like, why are we giving them this status? But then again, like, the British population is, like, very much, like, obsessed with them too, and they love the king and queen. Like, when Diana died, like, I think so many people are crying for her. I actually remember when Diana died, which is, like, really interesting, because I was very young, and I remember exactly where I was, and, like, people were crying, and people were crying at her funeral. Like, so there has been, like, a very, like, intense infatuation with the British royal family. And I do think, like, now I've lost my train of thought as to what I was saying. But, like, yeah, I like, really went into the history of it. But I do think that Harry and Meghan were very much, again, like, thrown into the press with all of this stuff. And, yes, now I remember what you were saying about how, like, they're just thrown to the dogs or whatever to keep, like, the other the senior members of the royal family relevant. And I think that, yeah, and that was, like, so messed up. And when you see, like, Diana's episode or Diana's season of The Crown, you see, like, the exact same thing happened to Diana that happened to Meghan. But like, there was nobody to save Diana. So she ended up getting a divorce from, or like separated from Harry's dad. And then, but like Charles just kind of like left her alone and like kind of just, they just fed her to the dogs, versus the difference between Harry and Meghan is Harry's like, I'm not going to let history repeat itself. What happened to my mom can't happen to my wife, and we need to get out.
Yeah. And that's why I have so much respect. 100% get that. Yeah. I have so much respect for Prince Harry in that regard, because he is choosing his family, and he really recognizes the patterns and the similarities between how his mom was treated and how his wife is being treated. And, you know, I really appreciated the honesty and the just really transparent storytelling that they provided within the documentary. I mean, I don't feel like they held back. I felt like they were respectful to their family as much as they needed to be without compromising telling their story.
Yeah, and exactly. Without compromising their integrity and what really drove them to it. They said at the very end as well, like, they didn't choose to leave. They were forced to leave. Like, he talks about how, like, he had that meeting, remember, like, with his brother and his dad and the queen. Yeah. And they were like, it's A or C. And he was like, I wanted option B. Like, I just wanted to live abroad, but still work for the queen away from the media, just because of like my own and my wife's mental health. And they were like, it's all or nothing. And they kind of just, then he was like, well, then it's nothing, because they didn't want to compromise with him. So I think people are just so quick to judge. Also, that's what a man is supposed to do, right? Like, if he thinks that his wife might kill herself because of like the media bullying her every single day and she's having suicidal thoughts and he has like young children, of course, like, that is what is expected that a man do. Like, why does it have to be like Meghan broke up the royal family? Like, why can't it just be like Harry's
taking care of his wife.
Yeah. And then he also said, I think there's a point where he also says that Meghan didn't want this either. Like, neither of us wanted this.
Yeah. And it's so interesting how, like, after that meeting, I don't know if you remember where that decision was leaked to the press before they even had a chance to, like, really tell their side.
I know. And the shadiness of it, like, they're like, oh, well, write us a letter and write us in writing what's happening. And he sends like his dad private emails that are then leaked. Like, it's so sick. Fucked up. It's so fucked up. It's just like, you can't, like, if you can't trust your own family, then what can you trust? Because I think Steph, when you were saying the institution and the family are different, I think you meant to say they're the same, because they are the same. Like, they're the same,
but I think, I guess what I was trying to say is the institution is being so protected that, like, it's separate from the family. Like, my dad, when I talk to my dad, I expect him to treat me like his son. I want him to take care of me like I'm his child. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. And
I feel like, I don't know, I feel like he can't have both. I don't know.
But can I tell you, I feel like they don't want it. Like, the dad chooses, like, Charles chooses institution over Harry because it's a family business. It's a dirty business. They need to stay on top. They need to stay relevant, because that's all they have to stay relevant. Like, literally, their livelihood, their entire, like, for generations, like, UK taxpayers have paid for their lifestyle, and that is their business. But it's insane. They were saying something like crazy, like, the royal family does like 3,000 appearances in a year. And I'm thinking, like, what? Like, there are 365 days in a year. Like, they work really hard for that money. I'm not gonna lie, but it's just like intense. Like, what they have to do and how they have stayed on top and made this like a brand for the entire UK.
It's so interesting.
It's so interesting, right? Like, I never had that deep understanding that I do after watching Harry and Meghan. And like, I kind of understood like a little bit of the first two seasons. And I know a lot of The Crown, they say, might not be like 100% factual, but the Diana season is so good. And you can actually, they do like a lot of themes of like how she was abandoned by the institution, how the media manipulated her then, how she was just like deeply unhappy. And you see the exact same stuff play out with Meghan in real life. And like Meghan actually lived to tell the story, which is very fascinating to me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch The Crown. I've been like, I started it actually. I started season one. So it was very early on. And I just kind of like was not interested because growing up, like Princess Diana was like the person that I was most intrigued about, the person that I was like enthralled with. And I remember, like you said, when she passed as well. So maybe I'll just fast forward to that season because that's what I'm really interested in anyway. But yeah, I mean, just seeing their entire story being shared with us, I appreciate it. I think that it was important for them to be able to have that moment to speak their truth because so many other people were speaking for them. And it just like makes my skin crawl, like thinking about like how someone made a statement or like their comms office, the brothers' comms office made a statement that there is no tension between the brothers, and Harry's like, I wasn't a part of that statement. Like that is crazy to me.
I know. Literally. But that's a whole thing. It's just like this underlying theme of staying relevant, staying in people's good graces, because William's going to be the next king. And they, of course, want people to love William and Kate more than they love Harry and Meghan. And it's just like really sad, honestly. And I do agree 100% with what he says at the very end, like how race played such a big role in it, but like the royal family literally missed out on a huge opportunity for the royal family to modernize. Like all the stuff they say about how like majority of the countries that are colonized by the UK have like different races, and the fact that they saw this in a princess, and like the fact that people were so happy, they were like, wow, there's a black prince, like, you know, like it's insane. And like they completely shot themselves in the foot. I don't think like this is going to last, like the monarchy in modern days going forward. Like even by the time like William's son gets to be king, I mean, they would have to literally go through some like circus to like make sure that they stay relevant and on top, because like I do think a lot of people are like starting to question it, and that's okay for them to question it, because I mean, I don't think that they are actually evolving. They would have evolved better with Meghan and like having them be like the face of it, but because then you can see like, yeah, they're progressive, you know, they're kind of more modern day, but they're still staying relevant, but like with today's times. So yeah. I do 100% agree with what Harry said about how they missed out a huge opportunity with his wife.
Yeah, I mean, she's half black, and a lot of the countries that they represent, or what is it called, like when they're
colonized?
That they've colonized, yes, are black. Like,
yeah.
And you have a black princess, half black. Like, hold on.
Guys, we're recording in the holidays, so there's like a lot of family kids, sounds. Yeah, it's okay.
They just did a huge
it is what it is.
Upstairs. I hope everybody's okay. Nobody's crying. But no, they missed a huge opportunity, like you said, and it just makes me crazy. Like, you are so worried about appearances. And I think, honestly, like, whoever is running their communications department, they were looking only at the moment in front of them. They were not thinking
literally
long term. Like,
literally.
You were not thinking long term, buddy. Like,
no,
this was
no. It's so short sighted. It's so closed minded. It's just stupid. Like, they don't understand. And like, yeah, I get it that the priority needs to be to keep like Charles and William and maybe even Kate at the front. But like, the way they like spun Meghan to be this horrible person in the media was ridiculous. Like, no human being should ever have to go through that kind of thing. Like, honestly, sometimes I get scared. Like, when I'm looking at, like, when I watch the documentary, the way the paparazzi swarmed them, even, like, I'm like, yeah, we have, like, public profiles and stuff, but I don't think I ever want to be that famous. Like, I don't even know if I can get that famous, but I don't even want that life. Like, it's intense. Like, the intense, like, constant scrutiny, just, like, the flashes, like, as soon as you get out of the car, like, it's just crazy. And, like, how they were, like, swarming her house, like, when the dating stuff came out, and, like, they paid neighbors to put cameras in her home. Like, it's so unethical. You're like, why? Why? Like, just because she's marrying a prince means now she has no privacy at all. All like the fact that what he talked when they talk about how like the entire system works with the media, the British media, and how like they just feel like, oh well, the public is paying for your lifestyle, so you have to be available to them at all times, is such a crazy ask for anybody. Like, this is so deeply unethical and so deeply like fucked up. Like, I don't even know what to say. Like, how is that logical? Like, who came up with that?
I know. I mean, what I love, though, is that they were willing to fund themselves. Like, we will not be funded by the British media. And then,
yes,
you know, we will no longer be subject to being your puppets, basically. And that still wasn't acceptable. And so it's just, wow. Man, if you guys have not watched the documentary, I encourage you to just tune in, because I think it will give you some context to a lot of the stories that, I mean, it gave me a lot of context to a lot of the like news articles and things I would be seeing from a few years ago about Meghan and how, you know, she's how a diva and how she's controlling. It's just like, it's so interesting now to hear the other side. I have so much empathy for what they've been through, and I really wish them the best.
I have a lot of empathy for what they went through, but then I also have a lot of respect. Like, to leave the royal family and yeah, just go away and live by your wife, like, that is not easy. Who's going to be like, oh yeah, I was born into this privilege, and then I'm just going to say F off to everybody and just like leave with my wife? Like, of course that was a tough decision. Like, it can't just be like, oh yeah, so Meghan just controlled the whole narrative and then Harry just like followed her. Also, the whole theme about just blaming the woman, this is like a common thing, and like women do this too. We need to stop. Like, why does the narrative always be it's the woman's fault? It's always the woman's fault. The woman is the problem. She broke up his family. She told him to leave. She did this. She did that. Like, she's manipulative. Like, let's please leave that narrative behind. It's just deeply like hurtful and deeply disrespectful to like all women. Like, let's change that narrative, please. It's not always the woman's fault. Like, and not everything is just black and white. That's, you know, like, people have such like polarizing views. Like, we need to be kinder and more empathetic and understanding as like humans. Like, even though we have this documentary in front of us, we still don't know the full truth. But yeah, of course, we know what we have information for. But, and then you can make your own opinions about it. I'm not saying like one or the other. Like, you're welcome to have your own opinion. This is just mine. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think like everything is black and white, and you have to be a little bit more kinder and compassionate when thinking about it and like removing your feelings from the situation.
Yeah. And I also like, I love how a lot of people are saying like, oh, you wanted privacy, but you put out a Netflix documentary. Like, no, they wanted to be able to tell their own story. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference. I've seen so many like just negative comments. Like, whenever E! News posts them, like, I always run to the comments because I'm just nosy and I want to know like what people are saying. But that's usually like the narrative. Like, how can you say you want privacy, but now you're putting out a whole like documentary covering your life? And I think people who say that are missing the whole point. I think they're missing the point. I 100%
agree. And also, okay, here's the thing. It's reported that they got $112 million for 6 episodes from Netflix. And everybody's like, oh, they're such a sellout. They threw their family under the bus. Well, they need money. Okay? Yeah. They have a whole family. Like,
And they have to pay for their own security.
Yes. And they're still like so famous, but they're like left out to the public, like fed to the wolves. Like, of course they have to. And they're doing whatever they can to like sustain their lifestyle and sustain whatever. But like, listen, who the fuck cares what they do with the fucking money? You know what I mean? Like, and who's to say you, like, if you and I were in the same position, we wouldn't do the same. Like, you don't know.
Yeah. If I had to like fund my own life, like imagine going from royalty to now having to fund your own life, fund your own security, maintain a certain lifestyle. Hell yeah, I'll do a Netflix documentary. I might do a part 2, 3, and 4. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Preach. I so agree with this. Like, yeah, I mean, everybody can think whatever they want, but like, you never know how you would actually act when you're in the same situation. Like, you can sit here and like sit on your high horse and just be so judgmental, but if you're actually put in the situation, maybe you'd be acting the same way. And like, they're royals, like they can get that amount of money. So what? Like, get the money, you know what I mean? Like, get paid. Like, they have, like, they can invest that money and be, like, set for, like, generations to come. You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't they do it? It's, like, no-brainer.
Yeah, absolute no-brainer. I think at the end of the day, like, I love the theme. Like, love wins. I feel like Harry wanted to make sure that history did not repeat itself. I think he was living and breathing from experience of what walking behind his mom's coffin, and like, I think he just didn't want that to ever happen again. And I love it. I love that he chose this path, and I'm excited.
I agree.
To see what happens?
I will. Okay, here's the thing. I know it's going to be like a very long conversation, so I'll kind of like wrap up my opinion on all of this. I think when Elizabeth was queen, she became queen like super young. And I do have a lot of respect for her work ethic and her dedication to the monarchy. She was the longest reigning monarch, and I think she did a wonderful job given the situation she was in. And like from a very young age, and like they talk about like how, you know, she's just amazing or whatever. I do think that she did everything she could to keep the family business going, to keep them relevant. And she did it till her very last breath. But I do think moving forward, they do need to understand that, yes, like she was also like she was queen for 70 years. I can understand like why the monarchy might not change, because she's literally been queen since the 20s. Okay. So like, I get that. But like, let's modernize it a little bit if they want to stay relevant. You know what I mean? And Meghan was an amazing example for that. And like, I agree with Harry when he said he couldn't have picked a better woman for this role. And I just don't know. Like, I wish that they would have seen what, you know, that Harry and Meghan can bring to the family without feeling threatened of their own power or their own relevance. Like, I think it's like genuinely really sad, because like if they actually work together, like who knows what they could have become. And it's just really sad that it came down to this. Yeah. You know, it's really, really sad. I mean, look at the Kardashians. They work together as a family and look how far they are, and they're not even royalty. Can you imagine if these royal people who have so much relevance and so much power actually yeah. worked together and saw what a modern future of the monarchy could look like how far they could have gone. But now they're just holes in it, because it's making everybody question like what the monarchy even stands for.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder like what those behind the scene conversations actually look like. Are you an inclusive monarchy? Are you racist? Who made the comment about Archie's skin tone? Like, I have so many questions. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. It's ridiculous. And it's just unfortunate. I do think that they really missed out on a major opportunity with Meghan. But I also do side with Meghan and Harry. They did what they had to do in that situation, and they did the right thing for themselves. And nobody is to blame but the royal family. I wish their actual family would have protected them rather than the media. but you know, you live and you learn. Maybe they regret it now or later. Who knows? It's just really sad. You know what I mean? Like, I used to be like really infatuated by them and like Harry and Kate, but now I mean William and Kate, and now I look at Kate, I'm like, you're so boring. You're literally a mold of what they have made you into. Like, you have zero personality.
Yeah. And honestly, I think it's going to come back and bite them all in the ass in a few years, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, like, I agree with that. But it might not, but this is our opinion. So.
But if it does, you heard it here first.
Just a disclaimer. Yes, you heard it here first. I hope you guys are having a lovely holiday week. Stay warm. And we'll see you soon.
Yeah.